Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point. Hey, what's up to The Point listeners? Welcome back to part two on the memorization coach, train the brain to win the game. We get real deep on this stuff with a lot of cool tactical things to accomplish these things and ultimately how to connect with Nelson if you want to do something moving forward like I am. So enjoy this episode, part two on the memorization coach with Nelson Dellis.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
And this is like where my brain went to because, you know, I told you ahead of time, like a lot of our, the majority of our listeners are all contractors. And I'm always trying to think through like, well, what can I bring on here that would add value? Like, yeah, okay, learning names is one thing. They all meet people, but they've also got their iPads in front of them or whatever that they can always cheat and look at the name of the homeowners that they're with or whatever. But there's a lot to be said about remembering these names and saying their names often. And you think about when you go up there and you say, everybody stand up, even though there's 150 people that stood up, 120 or whatever the number is, and you say their name, there's that moment when you feel special. Yeah. You said the name. Yeah. You remember the name. You made me feel special. And that is an incredible gift. And it's something that, like I said, for me, it's, I want to get better at it. Yeah. But the tactic that and I'm not certain if you call it do you call it a memory palace? Is that what you call it? Or what do you call it?
Yeah. I mean, the name technique that I talked about is a variation. I think everything essentially at the highest level of memory techniques is a variation of this memory palace idea. So yeah.
Got it. So that worked for me because I was able to like buy into it and whatever. I mean, like I said, that's just the name that stuck with me. But what's interesting is as I was prepping for this podcast, I sat in my living room and I've seen multiple videos of you kind of going to different places and like recreating them in the different places that you go. So you have like thousands of these different, like whatever you want to call them, memory palaces, or whatever you call it. But it actually, I'm thinking, man, if I can remember anything, anybody can do it because I have a really bad short-term memory. And so I sat in my living room and I came up with 10 things. And I've been trying so hard. So I just went to a friend of mine, Tommy Mello's 40th birthday party and met a lot of people. And I literally practiced like trying to remember everybody's names and their faces. And so I'm a work in progress, but I was trying to associate these different things I was also learning with just different, like, where did I put them in my house? This one's sitting on my couch. This one's sitting on the fireplace. This one's sitting on the bowl above the fireplace. This one's sitting on the thermostat. So yeah. I was trying to like learn these tools and it works. Like it seems silly, but it totally works.
Yeah. You know, I think at a very foundational level, the reason why it works is because I think humans in general, if you think back to our very, very far ancestors who turned into us, the changing point in our brains was this ability to tell stories. Okay. There's actually research that is coming. I don't know too much about it, but that there was a mutation in our ancestors' brains that allowed us to be able to tell stories and have this capacity for language that led us down this path, right, to who we are now. So in a way, you could say that we are who we are because of this ability to storytell. And essentially, these techniques are all storytelling. You know, you're thinking of a picture, and this picture does something, and you're telling your story of this weird thing that it's doing, and you're placing it somewhere and visualizing it. And, you know, that's been super important in, you know, making our civilizations become what they are. It's because we passed on information. So recently I've been really connecting to the fact that our memories are intrinsically what make us human, you know? And there's a power in that, right? If you can tap into that, there's no other kind of natural feeling you know, to be able to harness your own capacity to remember something with no aid other than your own memory, you know?
See, I'm all about experiences. See that X right there?
Yeah.
That X right there is for experience, and it creates memories because I'm all about creating memories and having those experiences. You know, and one thing I want to make sure we are like 45 minutes into this thing already. So yeah, we're in it. But I want to make sure I get to some of these things because you work like you're a memory coach, you work with businesses. And one story that I remember you sharing, because I want to kind of go into how do you help, like, how can you help business owners? And when I was going to meet with you, I'm in a bunch of different group messages with some big contractors, big players. And I said, hey, I'm going to do a podcast with a memory coach. What are questions you guys want me to ask? I can't ask you any of the questions that they asked me to ask you because it wasn't broad enough of a, it didn't give me the right answers I was looking for. I should have done better, but everybody's intrigued by it. So, but I'm just always curious to know, like, how do you work with business owners? And you had told the story about, you were working with, I think it was Jesse Itzler and Sarah Blakely. For those who don't know, Google Sarah Blakely, founder of Spanx. Jesse Itzler is a badass. He owns the part of the Hawks. Like, he had Marquee Jets, like,
he's super an incredible entrepreneur. Yeah.
Incredible entrepreneur.
Good speaker. I know Jesse from like athletic stuff, and Chris knows Spanx because, well, I mean, you know, he wears Spanx.
Yeah, I buy him for Paul for Christmas.
Isn't that lame? I'm trying to strike back, you know. I make it one shot at this, Chris.
It was a good attempt, yes.
Well done. Maybe if you didn't stutter, you would have got it done. You went and like taught them the 40 or like the presidents or something like that, yeah, like quickly or something along those lines that you had did. And so not that that was has value to their business, but the point was, they're capable mm-hmm. of doing it. Maybe tell us how if somebody like me comes to you trying to get better at my business, or even like a contractor trying to get better at their business, or anybody comes to you, like, what does it look like when you go into like actually coaching somebody? I know there's probably a ton to it, but like, what is that whenever somebody hires you to be a coach?
Yeah. So, I do a bunch of different kind of coaching. Ever since COVID, I've been doing a lot of online one-on-one coaching, which I really like because I can really fine tune the process depending on what the person wants. But I also do kind of workshops and seminars, which we can go very deep into techniques, but you know, you're still preaching to a group depending on the size, it can be less personalized. But anyway, so when people reach out to me, it's usually for a specific problem and they want to work one-on-one. This was the thing with Jesse. I was invited to his house to work with him for a day. And then at the last minute, he was like, oh, can Sarah sit in? Of course. Yeah. But anyway, so what I typically do, it's not usually just a day. But in Jesse's case, I did that. But I prefer kind of a longer term program that I've outlined. And it's usually a 3-month program. And I'll tell you why, because, you know, memory techniques have been around for a long time. There are people who sell programs and books about memory techniques. And, you know, even clients that I get have said, oh, you know, I did this course with someone else that teaches memory techniques before and it worked. I was like, great. So why are you, you know, and it's like, well, you know, I stopped using them or I didn't really know how to use them with real life applications. I hear that all the time. So in the last couple of years, I've really kind of turned my training model towards that problem, because what I did for myself, I didn't mean to, but because I was competing in these championships, I was training in a way that like I was rewiring the way that I think, you know, for the long term. This will never change. I've changed my brain, you know, and I didn't think I was going to do that, but that's what happened. So when I work with clients, that's my goal, is to get you to learn the techniques and to get them to a point where they really make a difference in your life, that they become automatic and habitual, you know, so that they help you in everything you do, not just as a party trick that you say like, oh, it works if I try. And, you know, I can see if I were to really apply it, it would be beneficial, but I'm not going to do that because I'm too busy or something like that. So my whole process when I work with a client is to kind of, first of all, outline what their goals are. Some people come to me with a very, very simple problem. They just want to remember names better. Some people are studying for a specific entry exam. They're students. They're changing careers later on. Some are even athletes. They need to remember plays better. Some are aging seniors that just want to be sharper. So we address different problems. I address different problems in different ways, but ultimately I put them through kind of a quick little boot camp of what the techniques are. And then I train them like a coach. I write out programming for them to do every week. Because I believe that if you want to get to a point where this stuff is automatic, you have to practice, you have to do it daily. Not a lot, but just consistency. And it's just like any other skill. I think that's the hardest part people, the thing that people have a hard time grasping is that memory is just like any other skill that you want to learn, whether it's playing the piano, getting better at dribbling a basketball, juggling. You know, you can learn the technique, watch a video, but doesn't make you instantly good. You can maybe do it a little bit, but if you really want to be professional, maybe not professional, but a very accomplished juggler, you got to do it every day, even if it's just 5 minutes or every second that you have, you're picking up balls and you're throwing them up, right? Same thing with memory. And the nice thing about memory is that there's so many opportunities in your day-to-day life to try, whether it's just memorizing names or, you know, you're driving down the street and you're looking at license plates, you can memorize things everywhere. So that's my approach. And I've had a lot of success. People come to me now years later and they are so thankful that they work with me because I changed the way that they think and perceive information that hits them day in, day out. You know?
Got it. So, excuse me, this intrigues me because I'm thinking, and tell me if this is unrealistic. Okay.
It is.
So we're, it's unrealistic for you. One of the big struggles that a lot of contractors have, let's say more specifically to heating and air conditioning contractors, is the length of time it takes to get somebody who's brand new on board quickly, to learn how to do the things quickly, like learn how to read the schematics, to do all the things faster. And it's, you don't remember all these things. Like, so there's now virtual reality trainings. There's all kinds of different things. So where my brain went to is, Is there a place that exists for this training in that world to potentially speed that process up? Because it would seem like it could be, if you're having to, and even in virtual reality, like the training could even be a better solution because it's interactive versus just actually like reading anything. But you see where I'm going with this, Paul? It's like, I'm trying to think through what could, could there be something that exists in there that could maybe speed the process. I mean, if it speeds up even a couple months, it's a win, but
I'll just add real quick. Like, you've asked some really dumb questions over the years. That is not one of them. That is like, that is a really, that might be your best question ever. That was good.
I almost just spit.
Sorry that Nelson, that you're having to deal with this banter. It's been a while.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Now, Nelson, if you could actually share something that actually has value, that'd be great. Instead of Paul.
I was gonna say something stupid, but I'll say something not stupid, but it's a great point. I think there's two avenues to go here. One is, you know, you have this onboarding issue, and you need to speed it up from a business perspective, right? You run a business and you need these people to get on board real quick. So having them go through a whole program might be nice, but you don't have the time for it. Maybe later on or something. That's part of the training. Let's say you invest a bit of time and in the long run, it pays off. But if it were to be the other way around, where you just want them to learn this information faster so they can start, you know, excelling at their job or their work. I think what you can do, and I can help with this, but I feel, and I've thought about this before to maybe help with different domains of jobs. I just don't know enough about the jobs to design the thing.
Right.
So I'd have to work with someone. But basically, you know, an example might be, let's say, you know, like a quarterback comes to a new team and they got to memorize the plays, right? I'm sure as a quarterback, you have a good sense of many of the plays, but I'm not a quarterback. I've never played football professionally, so I don't really know what's in those books, those playbooks. But if I could present the same book, but it's been Nelsonified with memory techniques, versions of those plays and memorable versions of them using memory techniques and memory strategies, yes, that information could get into their brains quicker, right? Now, there's a difference between getting things into your brain fast and being able to regurgitate it quickly, right? So people say all the time, like, Nelson, you can learn a language in a day, right? With these techniques or something like that, a week. And I say, no, I can memorize the grammar and the vocabulary, like large swaths of vocab in a short amount of time. Doesn't make me fluent, right? I still have to practice speaking and accessing the information quickly, but it is all up there, right? Given enough time, I could get it, right? And because it's already up here, it's easy to practice, right? I don't have to look at a book or a manual anymore to study. I can just think about it in my memory palace. So my point of view is like, take this information that needs to be learned, present it in a way that's more memorable, you know, by working with someone like me who knows how the brain works, who knows how memories work better, and translate that information into a more palatable form so that it gets into these employees or these new hires' brains quicker, right? And then once it's in there, I mean, they can do whatever they want with it, you know? So that's something I'd love to explore, you know? It's just, I need assistance because I don't know enough about the domains to be able to tell you what you have to memorize. I don't know that, but I can tell you how to make this more memorable, you know?
Yeah. So I was like, even as you're just going through the playbook piece, if I had to like compare that, it would be to somebody looking at like a schematic, right? And mm-hmm. because you don't know the job, it's like, hey, they're learning how to rewire a thermostat, something as simple as that. But now if they could just remember have these techniques in place to remember them faster, they can kind of get to the technical side quicker because they've already got the memory piece of it set. And then when they go to work on this particular piece of equipment, they might not have it all memorized, but now they've memorized a big chunk of it because they had whatever the base is set. So this is something like there's one guy that messaged me with a ton of questions to ask.
For me? And, okay.
And I'm not going to get to any of those questions, but
we forget what
because there is better ones. But the point is that this is the perfect guy who's, you know, got $100 million heating and air conditioning and plumbing business, and he's got a phenomenal training facility on site. That's the guy, like, cause you don't have to learn all the things. You just need to understand like, well, what are some of the things to be able to build the foundation of it? I can make that connection and then see how it works out because there's something in there that I think could be really helpful. And if you catch on to that, then it's lights out. Cause nobody else is doing those things. Like no one. So there's something there.
Yeah. One idea I had, you think of like in high school, some kids have to take an AP exam, let's say AP history. Okay. And then at the end of that course, you take this AP test and it can give you college credit. Right. And there's usually like an AP history textbook that everybody follows because it's the kind of questions they ask. But what if instead of, you know, taking this book and having a teacher, you know, do the lesson plans, you got to memorize dates, this, that, you have a memory palace, a virtual memory palace that, you know, a student puts their head on and they just walk around this place that's 3D generated that has no mention even of numbers and names and stuff. It's just pictures of weird shit, right? Placed around this memory palace. Now to them, on first glance, they don't know what it is, but they're looking at something that is memorable, right? They're going to be in a space that's memorable. There's going to be pictures of weird things that's memorable, right? And if they can remember those things, which they will, because it's, you know, tricking our brains into remembering the things that it wants it to remember. When you take the headset off, the teacher can then reveal, listen, you know, that statue you saw in this room over here that was next to this other thing, those were, you know, these different events that happened in the 1900s, blah, 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 blah. And the associations will make more sense, but they didn't even know they were learning it. They were just experiencing something. And that's what I'm saying. So sometimes you don't even have to teach the people the techniques. You can just lay them out in front of them and have them experience it like a human would. And secretly they've been tricked into memorizing something they weren't even planning to. Right. So if you could do that kind of thing across anything, right. There's like a memorable version of information you have to memorize in whatever domain. You know, we all can do that. And quickly it's crazy. You know,
I'm so intrigued by this. Go ahead, Paul.
I know I want to talk about mental fitness. I want to talk about aging and, things like Alzheimer's, maybe ADHD. I mean, there's a lot of different things to talk about. Talk to me about your work with Alzheimer's patients. I believe I read that. And just the, you know, the decline of memory for some folks that's systemic.
Yeah. So I, you know, like I said, I started getting into this world because of my grandmother. That was the first kind of encounter I ever had with somebody who was losing their memory. And of course it was very striking to me, enough so that it caused this whole life shift. But
such
since
a,
then,
that is such a hard one to, it's such a tough one.
Yeah. And a lot of people can relate. They either have someone very close to them or, you know somebody who knows somebody who's, losing their memory or has lost it quite significantly, or they've passed away. And it's a hard thing to watch because it doesn't just affect the person with it. You know, in fact, in a lot of cases, they don't even realize fully what's happening. It's more the family and the connections, right?
Yep.
So it's very terrifying. Anyways, so after winning championships and realizing that it worked for me, I was always surprised when talking about what I do now, that nobody knew about memory techniques, or was always very like, wow, tell me more. I've never heard of this. Improve your memory. That sounds crazy. There are techniques for that. I've always had a bad memory. No way I could do that. And I realized that it should be more mainstream. It used to be thousands of years ago when that was all there was. There were no phones, no books, no computers to store information. It was just this. But it's lost its perceived need because we have external memories now. So, you know, I've worked with, so after a while I realized I needed to get this out there, and that's what the charity did. It was a way to kind of send that message, and I've worked with different groups, some Alzheimer's or dementia kind of, facilities where they have patients who, are on the decline. And it's interesting because in some cases with varying degrees of success, I can do a memory technique example with them, but they're never going to remember to use it, you know? Mm-hmm. And some are so far gone that it's just not even possible to remember very much. So what I'm saying essentially is that these techniques and being able to do this needs to be harnessed earlier, right? Mm-hmm. It's more of a preventative thing, than a fix for late cases. That's my experience. I'm not a doctor or professional in that regard. But that's what I've seen. There's a lot of, debate still in the research, whether memory techniques can, you know, stop or delay the onset of Alzheimer's. I believe it can, whether that be by a week, a month, a year, I think it will help a little bit, or a lot. But yeah, that's my experience.
So this makes me think, hold on. This makes me think of Paul's favorite movie, The Notebook.
Oh yeah.
Top five.
That's a good movie, man. No shame.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. And no shame, Paul. Great movie. But that's, remember, he's kind of doing that, taking her through that same like pattern over and over and over again. Once they're like, man, that's kind of what the whole thing is about, is it's reliving that story. But then after a while, she remembered a little bit longer.
Right.
And it's the same thing over and over again. That's kind of what I envision that you might have to deal with a little bit. We deal with that right now. And my wife's mom is pretty far down that path, and it's heartbreaking to watch. She don't even get it, but my wife certainly does. And it impacts probably her the hardest. So, but anyhow, I think it's super cool that you're doing that. I mean, that would be quite the gift, man. If you could turn that one around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, if I'm talking about how to prevent that, it's being able to keep your mind active frequently, you know, in your day-to-day stuff, meaning not necessarily just memorize everything, but
just doing things, right? Having to think through. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like calculate things, calculate the tip, you know, figure out things that are difficult in your mind rather than just like straight away Googling it. Challenging your mind to learn new things. And then even environmental stuff, like, you know, even diet, activity, sleep, minimizing stress, those things have huge implications for the longevity of your cognitive life.
I imagine you work with a lot of high performance people, entrepreneurs. Where does ADD or perceived ADHD, where does that come into play with people who've just got a lot going on, they're a lot distracted, and they let things fall through the cracks? Are there applications of your work there?
Yeah, I often find people with supposed ADHD do really well with memory techniques because, you know, they have these minds that jump all over the place. And that sometimes can lend itself to memory techniques because it is strongly based on the ability to think of wild things quickly. Not to say that people with ADHD always think wild things, but I think the kind of quick, bouncy, snappy nature of their thoughts is actually helpful for a memory technique. So when I work with kids or teenagers who have ADHD, these techniques work so well with them, which is great because, you know, they often struggle to remember things or to get things done that other students have no problem with. So that's an encouraging thing to know.
That's me, by the way. I have ADHD. I'm not medicated for it, but I've been diagnosed, and I feel like I thrive in chaos. Like, I don't explain it, but, so I would have actually thought the opposite, to be honest with you. So, cause I'm thinking like, well, I think people perceive ADHD too as like scatterbrained or like, you know, in a sense, yeah. I guess it kind of is that way, but I feel like I've kind of got things dialed in and compartmentalized. And even though I am trying to accomplish like 15 things at the same, in the same time frame, I at least have a cadence of the things I'm trying to accomplish, and it never ends. So I've kind of gotten just these little categories that I'm attacking constantly. So, but I wouldn't have thought, I could see this me being really great at being, you know, having a good memory.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Paul. Sorry, man.
Oh no, I just wanted to like other applications for the way this has improved people's lives outside of just like remembering, you know, names and faces and those sort of things. Like what kind of stuff have you seen with your clients?
One other thing is I feel like, and I've experienced this too, when I first started, is, you know, when you don't have to worry about your memory so much, it's such a thing that you can now put to the side and focus on other important things and what you're doing, you know? It also lends itself to this air of confidence that you have now in yourself and your mental capacity, which some people realize it. Some people don't realize how much of a hold it has on your performance and how you navigate through life, you know, how you naturally think about what your brain is capable of. So those two things, just being able to feel more confident in everything you do, you know, how you act and how you talk and how you think, and then also being able to just to naturally be able to do these kinds of things is a huge side effect a positive side effect that doesn't really mean, it doesn't have to do with actually memorizing stuff, but it's just the way that you carry yourself now, right? I can go to a party and memorizing everybody's name is like on the back burner, but that's the thing that will happen, you know? And I can worry more about making true connections and schmoozing better, you know, like presenting myself in a better, more thoughtful way. I don't know. But there's definitely some other side effects there.
I could ask a million questions, Chris, so I'll let you steal the mic from me at some point. But my last question is, do you have strategies for retaining things you're learning? So I'll give you an example of the question behind the question. I listen to so many good podcasts and read books, and occasionally something will stick with me for a lifetime. But oftentimes within a few hours, like I've forgotten completely what I was inspired by. Any tactics there that work for you?
Yeah. So now we're venturing into almost study techniques, right? Because, you know, you want to keep something that's been given to you very quickly in a setting that has a lot of other things in it. You know, you're listening to a podcast that's 2 hours long, you're driving maybe, you know, it's not the best place to learn something. And that's just one way, you know, maybe you're reading books and the same principle, like you finish a book and then you remember roughly what it's about, but the little tidbits that were important to you, you forgot, right? So I think taking external measures to distill down what you wanted to take away from this is important in remembering things. So oftentimes what I'll do when I finish a book, I actually underline a lot in my book, specific points, but I will always recap those points. And I have like a document set up on my computer of all the books I read and kind of the key points. And that is something that I review. Then that's the thing that I won't go out of my way to memorize it, 'cause it's not like I want to be able to recite the list of things that I jotted down backwards and forwards. Yeah. But the act of underlining and making a point to say that this is important. And then after, you've been done with it, you write it down, you read it, you spend some time with it, is already a way to make that memorable. Mm-hmm. And even with a podcast, you know, if I hear something that's super important, you know, most podcasts, there's maybe like one or two things that I really will want to keep in my bag, you know. Other stuff, like it's just passing by, or it's not that interesting, or it's just cool to hear, but I already know it, or whatever. So those two, three, maybe seven, 10 things, I don't know. I'll make a little note as it's happening, you know. Or if I'm driving or something, I might just try to visualize it, and then I store it somewhere else later. And then I'll always review it after the fact and do the whole imagery thing if I really want to, you know, bake it into my being, you know.
Yeah. So but no shortcuts is what I'm hearing here, Chris.
Unfortunately, no.
But gotta put the work in.
Yeah, but you know what happens is you kind of get addicted to this ability to store the information and to have it all in you. And often thinking in the ways that I was describing with the visualization and then storage and stuff like that, it lends itself to you wanting to think about and memorize things, which is why I still memorize today. Like I would love, you know, I have to go home after this call and put my kids to bed and, you know, spend time with my wife, but I would love to go just down to the basement and memorize stuff, thousands of digits. Like that is my jam, which sounds horrible and very boring. But if you really knew what was going on in my head, you'd be like, damn, yeah, I want to be there. Like I'm thinking of like porn stars and chefs and, you know, like my favorite movies are all in these places that I've lived. And that's what's going on in my head when I'm looking at numbers. Like it's my own private peep show, you know, of like weird shit that Nelson likes. So why wouldn't I want to go there, you know?
But that's part of your technique, right? Is how you're learning these different things is you're associating with these different things.
Well, I'm associating it to things that are, like I said before, personalized and related to me in my world of experiences, the Nelson life experience, right? So everybody has their own set of experiences, and who doesn't love to re-experience things and think about and feel the things that make them who they are? So memory techniques are a gateway into reliving those things, and for the positive, which is to remember stuff. So,
and only you have the password.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's good. It can't be hacked.
That's right.
Who knows? Yeah. Maybe that in the future, you know, we'll have ways to see the memories people are envisioning. That'll be crazy.
Oh dear Lord. Then Paul being real deep shit.
Like, what was it?
The pedicure coupon near me.
No, the Minority Report, right? With those
When it's pop.
They could see the crimes happening in their head before it happened. Yeah.
It's wild.
That's well, first off, let me just say, this stuff, I know that I'm going to go in my basement and sit and do that, but it is intriguing. No, it is intriguing to me. And mine's more so from the business perspective. And then it trickles down into, hey man, how could I use Nelson to help my son remember his plays and his playbook for his football team? And how can I get him to remember reading defenses? Or, hey, he's got testing. How can he get better at testing? When I read a book, I can't listen to the audio books because my brain still wanders when I'm listening. So I have to read and highlight. And I read and highlight the book when I do read them. So that way I can kind of go back and look at them and they're my reference points. I wish I knew that shit. And when I was in school, I'd have been a better test taker and a better student. But there's so many different things that now I can see. I mean, if you could just start to figure out some of the foundational things and kind of figure out how to get that, we call it an autopilot of like, you're being more intentional about how to gather this information and retain it. It helps you in so many aspects of your life, whether it even be your relationships or you're meeting people, business, your kids, all these different things. And that's really what I wanted to bring to light was, you know, that's what I think about, you know, and I immediately think, man, how could I be better? the things that I'm going and trying to learn to be a better leader in this business, I wish I could retain those better. And so how can I do that? I need to work on myself and work on my memory and how I can accomplish those things. And so that's the place I'm coming from. I just start thinking about all this other stuff that I didn't know was possible. Like you getting, teaching the kids or thinking, teach the kid to learn the presidents before he takes the test or the countries or the continents or whatever. Yeah. So, but I appreciate you giving me that time, man.
It all starts from just being aware that you can change your memory. I think a lot of people, like I said at the very beginning, is they're stuck with this mindset that memory is a fixed thing. I have a shitty memory. That's the end of the story. But that's not the case. We all have this amazing latent ability within us to have an amazing memory. And it's just a matter of relearning or learning how to think differently. You know, that's really all memory techniques are, is just thinking in a different pathway. So I think if people, your listeners, think about that for a second, we've already changed something in their head, you know?
I love it. I mean, that's, I think that's, this is like most things, right? It still starts with your mindset. And I think what you're saying is I'm like, there's not a chance that they're going to teach me something, I'm going to retain it, or I'm going to be able to make it through 15 minutes of the presentation to even retain what they're telling me. Until I changed the way I was thinking about it, and thinking like, well, fuck it. Let's just give it a try. And I was like, oh shit. Like I was able to retain it. Like I can still remember retaining the memory palace from the very first one that I could recite it right now and all the things that were on it. And I remembered it and I was like, oh my gosh, like that this can, I can do this. And so if I can do it, anybody can do it. But, I want to make sure that, I mean, when I say thank you, because listen, I know time is our most valuable asset and you've given me more than I asked for. So thank you, Nelson, for coming on and doing that and sharing with the listeners. But I don't want it to end there. So what I'd love for you to do is for any of our listeners who might want to connect with Nelson, like just what's the best way that they could connect to you? I know you have, like I said, you have all these different social platforms and you've got a ton of content out there and a lot of those things too. But so maybe share like some of those things and the ways that they might be able to get in touch with you if they want to ask any questions or even potentially bring you on as a coach for.
Yeah. I mean, everything can be found on my website, nelsondellis.com. It's pretty easy to see how to reach out to me, hire me. Or I have my online course as well. You can sign up for it there if that's of interest. If you want to start very simply, in a free version of that YouTube, I have like you said, tons of content there that you can start with. And so, yeah, just search Nelson Memory on YouTube and you'll find a bazillion things. But yeah, that's essentially my main things. And then my books, you can find those on Amazon. If you just search my name, Nelson Dellis, you'll see my books there.
Cool. Well, I mean, thanks, man. I appreciate it. It is exciting. Okay. It is exciting. Thanks. Once you actually start to learn more about it, it is exciting because I think what's exciting is the potential from learning the skill. Paul, anything you want to say in closing before I start to close this out?
No, just congratulations on your career and the work you're doing and kind of blazing a trail in your own category. And, it made a memorable impression on Chris and I when we met you, and it's cool to see you, man. So thank you.
Appreciate you saying that. Thank you. And thank you for giving me the exposure. Always appreciated.
Of course. Yeah. Here's one thing I'm going to do. All right. If you'll go down this path with me, Nelson, there's this amazing company in Indianapolis, Indiana. So not super far from you who I think I could connect the dots there to get you two together to see if there's something that could live in that training space and vet it out. And we'll see. And then maybe what we can do is based on how that goes, if it goes as well as we think, is he's certainly the guy sharp. And he runs a super solid program. If there's someone who can get that figured out and help you with that piece of it and you help him, it would be this connection. Okay. So I'm going to make that connection for you.
I would love that.
See what we can do with it. Because if we can take that and then scale that sucker across the industry, that's a big, 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 big win for all involved. So I'm going to make that happen. And then we're going to bring it back on here. We're going to talk about it again and see where it went. Okay. So let's do that.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate all right, cool.
So listeners, hopefully you guys take advantage of it. Nelson shared his information. He shared a lot of different things. And part of this is you just got to be open, like to maybe trying something that may seem weird to you or might seem like it's a mountain that you can't climb. See what I did there, Nelson?
Even talk about mountaineering. I'm sorry to interrupt. That is some impressive stuff.
Because half people listening to this thing would start to shut it off if we're just talking about that. So maybe more. They probably already did because once I heard Tall Paul was back on, they shut the shit off. So I apologize, Nelson, for doing you a disservice. but no, all jokes aside, listeners, take advantage of these types of things. Like, this is something that sets you apart, that immediately makes you different, because I guarantee you probably 95% of your competitors, if not more, are not utilizing a memory coach. Fair to say. Yeah. So take advantage of those things. So I'm going to go ahead and finish this thing up with reading review. And again, Nelson, I'll just say one last time. Thanks, man. I appreciate you so much for doing what you do and being able to share that with me and our listeners. So thanks.
You got it.
And then I'm going to go ahead and finish up with this one. It is a 5-star review called the Best Home Service Podcast, period. I like that. We're off to a great start. And this is from Ashton Crombiel. Ashton Crombiel. I hope I didn't butcher that. And it says, to the point. I probably did. To the point is a staple in my weekly routine, and I am extremely grateful for the plethora of industry knowledge provided by Chris and guests, such as Nelson. Not so much Paul. This podcast is a treat and an absolute must if you're in the home services industry. Do yourself a favor and hit that bell to subscribe. I like that idea too, if you haven't already, and add it to your weekly routine. You're welcome in advance. So Ashton, appreciate you. Thanks for doing that so much. Again, Tall Paul, welcome back to the show. I'm glad you were on here. It was a good time. I always love making fun of you publicly. So such a good time.
And privately. Yeah. Thank you, man. Pick up right where we left off, man. That was fun.
All the above. Nelson, appreciate you, dude.
Thank you very much, guys.
You let us know if number 6 is on the horizon.
Yeah. Well, I don't know yet. I don't think this year, but we'll see.
All right. And to our listeners, everybody, you don't have to do everything, but you got to do something, or at least remember to do something. No, 0 nice days. Job. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe, and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review, and be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.